That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
We got a special guest, first returning guest
Woo-hoo!
In the history of the show ever. That's true. No, yeah. You're not actually.
But
let's go with it.
Let's keep these good vibes going.
I said it so confidently.
I did say it confidently, but we have not released those episodes of the one that did come back.
So this technically could be the if you release this one first.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Cassidy.
Hi.
Do you have a nickname? Like a fighter's nickname.
Yeah, disappointment.
Cassidy.
The disappointment.
Nicholson in the house. Oh. We went to the movies to watch Poor Things.
All the poor things.
Wow, what have you been up to, eh? Like, our listeners don't see you. There's no brand overlap, I think.
What do you mean?
Like with us, you know?
Yeah.
And we're so close.
We are so close. I give you a lot of shit for having a real job.
Yeah.
Like that's how close we are.
She does. But Jody and I, we have no choice.
No.
Yeah.
We don't have the minerals to do what you do.
Not have the minerals, do not have the
resource.
Full head of hair that you've got.
You do have a good head.
Thank
of
you.
Hair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have seen me after my extensions. It was a problem.
Ooh. You had extensions?
I did. I was like trying that like white girl thing.
Yo.
It didn't work out.
Yo, the only extensions I had was when I was doing projects.
I actually lost that.
It's because you're ADHD.
Yeah, I couldn't. Please. Just next week, please.
Only does it the night before, next week.
No, day off.
Day off. When the teacher's collecting the projects. That's all. That's a whole other Olympic sport.
Yeah. I still have time. Yeah. Story of my life.
Just grow that word count. So what have you been up to? You've been silly goose timing all over the city.
Oh, gosh. I've been up and down from here in Jersey. I've been doing stand-up now, which has been really cool.
Mm. Wow.
I must say that's been a whole nother journey on its own. And I've kind of just been doing more content, but I've also just been experimenting with putting a little bit of a production value in my content. Which is why I'm not posting nearly as much. I'm just trying to make
Takes
sure.
Time, doesn't it?
It really does, hey? Like this, we're recording this now. It'll only come out in 2 years' time. Yeah. I know.
Sometimes it never does.
Yeah.
We've done episodes that we've just like
never seen.
For our enjoyment.
We have a lot of lost tapes.
Wow.
Yeah. It is what it is. I can't make it. It becomes irrelevant.
Day jobs.
We just carry on. But now the stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Why?
Oh.
Like, why would you put yourself through that?
That's like a very, very big way to be like, but you're not even funny.
No, it wasn't.
Look, we didn't want to start that way. We were going to build to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me down easy, you know?
I'm not coming at it from that place. I'm coming at it from a place of, I understand how difficult it is.
So, you know what? There was a part of me that, like, as a young girl growing up, like, people were either like, oh, you need to be in the spotlight, you need to, you know, act, you need to be a director, whatever. But then there was always a few people who were like, you should actually go into comedy. You're very funny and whatever, you've got a knack for it. Then I became very close with Nina Hasty around the first Content Creator Awards, who is, you know, one of the country's like top female stand-up comedians. And I actually shouldn't say she's a top female, she's one of the top comedians in the country, right?
But she's female.
She is. She's doing the work for us.
So not as good.
Is that too?
Yeah. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking.
Just for context, you know.
You may not see this, but I'm winding up.
Hashtag my your life is very though. Short. I have time.
I've been dodging short arms for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, but she's quick with it. She Mike Tyson's. She comes on the inside. Anyway. Yeah, a lot of cock punching.
So Nina, obviously, we sat together and I was like, you need to do more content. And she was like, and you need to do stand-up. Mm-hmm. It's not fair that someone who is so funny off the cuff keeps that to herself. Like, this is something that you should share with people. And so she helped me and she kind of like coached me and became my mentor. And then like one day she kind of just like pushed me and I tripped and fell onto armchairs, you know, nice. Stand-up nights, and wow. the rest is history.
So that's where you work things out, at the armchair? Well,
yeah, I did my first show there, and then I kind of just, like, managed to talk to the right people, and I knew the right people, and then next thing you know, I opened at the Baxter, like, a month later, which was really cool. I'm really excited about where this element of my career is taking me, but I must say, I am, like, I'm kind of... pretending I'm like a Renault driver down Kloof Neck, you know, I'm holding brakes like the whole time because I just find that
What an analogy.
Well, I mean, any car should be doing that.
But Renault's a button.
Yeah. Renault's, you know, because they've got awful resale value. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Someone's like, I just bought this new Renault. Why?
So good time to bring up our language policy on this podcast.
Oh no, you can say what you want.
Why would you do that to me, Jody?
He was supposed to go with it a bit longer.
Oh, sorry.
No, but I don't want it to censor. You want
to workshop this.
You know? So it's kind of it's a thing that can spiral very quickly, you know? So I know that...
Into like drugs and alcoholism.
Well, not that way. I mean, like, if you really take it seriously, because I was doing like 3 shows a night. Ooh. And then I was just like, this... is something that I would need to take a long, hard look, because my content career would then have to take a step back.
Yeah.
Because this would become my main, you know, objective. Mm. And also at the same time, I was like, this isn't sustainable for me right now because content is so fast and you're going to so many events. I was like, exactly that. I have noticed a lot of people after stand-up shows want to go and get fucked or want to, you know, you're on such a high. So the only way, you need to decompress. So whenever that happens, you're after like your third or fourth show, you're like, oh, we're sick, you know, and then you're going to go for dorps with your mates. And it's just, it is a very like toxic culture. So you really need to go into it with a level head. Like, am I ready for this? Do I have, you know, the capacity for it? So it's been a crazy ride. And I've just been trying to go into it with a little bit more of an adult brain and not like a, woo, let's f*** up, full send.
But that's not really you, because when we had you on last
you're
time.
Not an adult.
No, man, I'm just saying, because when we had you on last time, you spoke to us about you actually do so much prep work for your content side.
Yeah.
Much more than what people would think. Like, you had your Bible, you had all of that stuff that you'd created for your character.
God can't help you there.
Yeah. He's no God.
Listen, didn't you get like a woke Bible?
No.
Bible for kids? No, they said brew a lot.
No, it was the extreme word.
Harriet.
Shout out, Harriet.
Harriet, you the real one.
It was her birthday yesterday.
Nice. HPD, Harriet.
Shout out, Harriet.
Old. She was old. She's older.
35 plus vast.
I don't want to get the number wrong. Anyway,
let's not guess. But so my expectation would be you would go into this with the same level of being methodical about the prepping, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of you going into it and just being like, I'm funny.
Yeah.
I'm
no, it was crazy. I actually went and I had a few like tutors, to say the least, because they needed to like break it down for me in like a mathematical sense. I needed to understand how to formulate a joke because truly anything in this life is funny. It all comes down to timing, right? So I was like sitting with a comedian and he was like, you know, you can do a bunch of one jokes, which are those like hee hee ha ha jokes. And then you get the ones where it's like worth a clap. And then you get the standing ovation jokes. And you can tell a bunch of ones and can like lead to a three, right? But then you can tell a one and a really good two and that leads to a three. So I took a moment and I was like, well, what is my voice and what am I going to talk about? So I really wanted to go into it with a level mind. So yeah, I guess I did take that same
method. Yeah, you haven't posted any of your stand-up. Right?
It's a weird thing, you know? I don't know if I want to Matt Rife this situation yet.
Why? Getting cancelled is so dope.
It's a way to go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is wild.
Don't ever come up without the cancellation.
I haven't come up with a good domestic violence joke to open with my set
well,
with
you. Well, are there any good domestic violence jokes? But you wouldn't even take like your best bits or whatever.
I just find that like people do like flock to see my shows, which is great. I'm truly blessed in that regard. But it kind of takes the appeal out of it because I'm not, as I said, I'm not constantly writing jokes for stand-up. So I've got like 1 hour like behind my name right now, which I could like go and bust.
It's a special.
Yeah, it is a special. But I have.
We don't have any people that we could like segue this into.
We could
like,
form it right here. Let's
go. Hey you guys.
There's no payment structure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like if I shared bits online, because I have, you know, a following, and because I don't do stand up all the time, I feel like people would be a little bit disappointed on brand when they came to my shows, because they would hear the jokes.
Yeah.
I just made out with a microphone.
Nice. Not the first.
What face is that?
This is not that kind of party, Kat. You need to chill out.
Oh my gosh.
She's getting my second hand mic.
Jody and I are married. That mic is celibate.
Do you know, Ben asked me the other day, he sent me a chicken meme, right? A chicken in shoes running around the garden. He goes, what bass is this?
What?
He's like, what bass do you call it when you start sharing chicken memes? Because now that's all we do, is share chicken memes.
Well, I didn't know this was a subgenre of meme. Chickens.
Yeah. Chickens wearing human shoes.
Everything's a subgenre in the meme culture, man.
Maybe share it with me.
I will.
I want to dip my toe. See if I like it or not.
But ease him in.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Comedy. Doing the vibes.
And
then we just invited you to a movie.
Yeah.
Well, she's been saying she wants to come back for a while.
Yeah.
Well, also, don't make her look desperate, Jody.
I like it to be push and pull. Because currently it's just like us doing
you hold all the power.
The
yeah.
thing is, I have been desperate because I'm still getting liked Bioscope Brass's TikTok that you are mentioned in. Like, we went viral for that I was at the Content Creator Awards and people were like, yo, this you? And I'm like, who the fuck else would it be?
Yeah. We do like riding cloud, but it also, it's liquor when the bra is liquor.
Yeah. No, listen, guys, the fact that we all had to put out fires and be like, only positive vibes here.
Yeah.
Because that shit was getting mad negative.
It was like strange also. Like, why?
Dude.
Where did it come from?
And
I don't
it was just
nowhere.
Like one person who was commenting on everyone's shit, just like negative, negative, negative. Like, hey, yo.
And then I had to be like, yo, chill out.
Man. And we aren't like active admins.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's like
I had to message you guys and be like, do you see the shit that's going on? TikTok, and it was like 3 months later and you're like, hey yo, thanks for the engagement
time
though.
For a policy to be enforced.
It's wild.
Yeah, but I had to put a stop to it. Any publicity is good publicity,
you know what I mean?
But you do, yeah, we're not experienced in rolling people in the comments at all.
No, this isn't Kits.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Do they get
Sam
a lot of...
Sam loves... That's Sam's, like, favorite pastime is to, like, troll people in the comments.
Wow.
Strong Sam energy.
Yeah, that is true.
He tells people all the time, like, yo, I love it. I love it.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, Sam, you're like a bulldog.
But it also astounds me how quick people can just put a thought out there without even...
thinking about
it. Yeah, no... Yeah, just like boom, it's straight to the fingers, right? It doesn't.
There's
even
no
go.
Sense yeah. of like, yeah, I
and
know.
There's no, and I see it a lot with just random things when they'll post a video on TikTok, for instance, and then people are like, I don't get it. What is it? And I'm like, fucking Google it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get it.
But why post it?
Yeah.
Why post I don't get it?
Yeah.
It's
what is
the
this?
Same energy as I don't like this video.
Yeah.
Let me show you what these fingers can do. Let me show you.
Yeah. Cool story. Like,
why do I keep seeing this content? Maybe because you keep watching the content.
Yeah, we saw the red photo shoot as well. And then do you think Jody and I could pull something like that off?
Totally, totally. You guys have like a yellow underskin tone thing, so it would work.
But we need like...
Olive. I lean olive.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm also I lean in the olive section. Yeah. So I'm
who's
like...
Who's Eileen, though? It's my
come on, Eileen.
Shane,
come on, Eileen.
I'm always like, have you seen those memes where it's just kids fighting and it's like the song Come On Eileen comes on and then it's just Eileen in the corner.
That song is a banger.
Such a good song.
At wherever I am, actually, if I'm drunk enough, it's always when that song comes on, you just get in a huddle and you start like
can.
Yeah, you start can-canning.
Hear me out. Same energy. Shit. Myself and have a joint.
She won't stop talking about
just
it's like love or something. God. Get over it. No, I'm just kidding.
Second time.
Is it real happening already?
You guys invited him to your house.
I made him a coffee.
Like,
we kind of like him more though. So.
despite certain incidences which we won't go into.
No, let's not. We don't want to lose listeners.
No, oh, God.
So tell us your story.
So we've got a joint notes app where we speak about songs that we will never, ever, ever play at our wedding. And Come On Eileen is one of them.
Oh my why God. You have to play Come On
Eileen? No, why? So you can watch a bunch of white people lose their shit.
Well, okay, that's only half the room for you.
Listen, you're right.
Three quarters at the wedding, though.
The colored people are going to leave. I'm telling you.
No, they won't. No. It's like watching a fire or a car crash. They'll stay for it.
Yeah.
But then
all the white people will be confused when all the colored people start doing the Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Anyway, we have a movie to talk
we
about.
We do. Yeah. We always end up chatting so much. And then we're like,
do you
want to
say anything about before we have a movie?
I really like him.
Nice. I like him too. I met him all of 20 minutes.
Get the b**** out your system.
He's
getting
cool.
Serious shit now.
Yeah.
He's cool.
He is cool. Where's he been hiding, huh? All your life.
He's been cooking.
Let him cook.
I'm done. Okay.
Okay. We went to the movies. And
us
this,
three.
This
and Abby.
And producer Abby. She had a terrible time.
Because we couldn't stop talking. We couldn't stop talking. Listen, the people who sat around us fucking loved us.
I do not know that. And I cannot confirm that. Believes it.
Can I just say, we also booked center middle for our seats. We were literally like this little pot of noise in the Cinema Nouveau. Just reverberating.
And it's Cinema Nouveau on top of it. It's
I
not
wanted
like,
to tell you guys.
It's not like Blockbuster.
I want to tell you guys, we were the teenagers in the middle of the ice rink. That's the energy we were getting.
And I can't skate to save my life, so that's never been me told that
We
night.
Will take that one out.
I can skate.
No, but now I'm there.
I can skate a little.
Okay, got you.
But I can't stop.
I can skate before. Yo, no one can stop. You skate full speed into the wall. That's how you stop.
Yeah.
That's the only way to stop. I don't care what you say.
Some of us have never started.
Should we do that again?
I did it the other day. I did it the other day.
Are you bringing Ben into it again?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did it with Ben, didn't you? Where did you get skates? Are they custom for your feet?
Don't you just hire
you
them?
Give them a left shoe and they go.
No, but do they have ones that small is my question. Or do they just strap like two menor blades? You know?
Yeah, put this in the shoe.
I'm sorry. This is bullying now. Hey, yeah. I'm sorry, Cassidy.
Does he make fun of you like this?
No. Just.
Because you see, I
are
see
you
what's
then
happening.
Just,
I'm getting all the jokes
all,
out.
This is all the pent up jokes that he can't.
Then, but okay.
Anyway, we went to see a movie. Yeah,
just dick punch him.
Yeah. We wanted to get you on a proper episode.
Okay.
Because last time we did a Lumming with the Brass episode. This time we were like, we want to review something with you.
Yes.
Because you know movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like you actually like movies.
Well, we'll see. Well,
see
huh?
Theoretically, she knows movies.
Theoretically.
Let's get this party
on
started.
On paper. What's our movie today, Jody?
This week we watched Poor Things, which is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, one of your favorites, I
guess. He is.
So, brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist, a young woman runs off with a lawyer on a whirlwind adventure across the continents. Free from the prejudices of her times, she grows steadfast in her purpose to stand for equality and liberation. Does that sound accurate?
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah?
The
yeah.
write-ups never... They never
do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah. Never.
I feel like that's kind of like the only way that a write-up can be without it giving too much away.
With something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fair.
But
yeah.
I feel like even if you give some things away...
It won't matter.
People
will not be ready you for
will
this
be
one.
The first half of the movie, you will spend like this.
That was my face.
Yes. Oh my God, we were giggling. A chicken was barking.
Abby was like, I think you were 10 minutes in and you're like, no. I want to go. And I'm like, just stay, just give it a chance.
Okay,
anyway,
okay. Before
starting,
we go on, starting Emma Stone as Bella Baxter, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Charlie Hiscock, Vicky Pepperdine, Jared Carmichael.
He's a child. Gosh.
Catherine Hunter.
Okay, Miss Mixed Slushy. Don't fucking.
You're talking about children.
Yeah, asking Cassidy what a fucking order is at the refreshment stand. can I get a small meal with wine gums and then a mixed slushy red and blue?
Yeah.
And then we mentioned it to the lady. And
no, we had to order it out loud.
Yeah, well, first of all.
And we just got people laughing at us.
Yeah, and well, the woman didn't understand. She's like, yeah. Do you mean raspberry and the other berry?
And strawberry.
Like, blueberry and raspberry.
The only information we have is red and blue. And she enjoyed that. She enjoyed it so much that in the cinema.
Yeah, I just like, just keep that mix going.
The whole time. And I was like, Cassidy, I'm not f***ing. How about you? Right next to me, just the constant maraca shaking.
And this was just in the opening credits, eh?
Yeah.
That was all opening credits.
You know what was also funny? She had like a small popcorn. Yeah. And she didn't finish it all at once, but then she would neatly fold it up and like put it to one side and then like then have a wine. And I'm like, this is a child. This is a child next to me.
Who we took to see the most adult movie seen in your life.
I am telling you, I was like, everyone's going to finish their popcorn in the opening credits, and he goes, no, that's just you because you ordered a small.
Yeah, I was larging it up till at least halfway. Did you know anything about this film going
no,
in?
I didn't.
You had nothing. No. So you, when you said, when I said, do you want to watch this with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo, and you were just like, yes, you had
yeah. No, so recently there was that whole Saltburn challenge, right? When you had to do a review, but you couldn't watch the trailer, you couldn't read the right.
Have you still not seen it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we won't spoil it for
I
you.
I know what it's about.
No, you should see it though.
But it's incredible. I'll tell you that much. But you need to obviously you deduce that on your own. But the point is that experience of not reading, not watching a trailer was so much more enjoyable because you don't go into it with any bias. Yeah. I mean, I've obviously just seen the Golden Globes and things now. So I did see that she won an award for it. Mm-hmm. And obviously in that sense, I'm like, well, it must be good.
And like Willem Dafoe, Mark Ruffalo being nominated.
Yes, they were nominated, well. Right? So I'm like, okay, well, there must be an element of like greatness. Mm.
So
this
this filmmaker, he's one of my favorites because you never know what he's going to do. Have you seen The Favourite?
No.
That's also with Emma Stone.
Olivia Colman as well.
I don't know which Emma is.
Yeah.
Emma
no
Stone,
one does.
Olivia Colman. That also.
All look the same.
All of them were in one place recently. Did you see?
Yeah, they were. Taylor Swift's concert.
Yasin actually made a very good joke about that.
A bunch of.
A collection of Emmas called a bucket list. So, The Favourite, The Lobster. Have you seen that one? Uh-uh. Wow, you need to.
I haven't. I've been busy comedying.
And then
she's burning it at both ends, bro.
I haven't seen Dogtooth, but another great movie of his is The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Mm. And Barry Keoghan,
Barry,
who's having his moment, isn't it?
Saltburn, Barry.
I know. I love Barry.
Oh my God. Barry Keoghan. So you must know when they post old movies in minute clips on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then they posted that scene from Banshees of Inner Sheeran where he's asking her if they
can. Yeah, if they can ever be together. Jesus. Oh my God.
Maybe one day. If you could, just thought I'd ask.
Can we be together? I don't ever think we'll be together. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe we could share a potato. I don't know. It was so heartbreaking. I'm like, I must watch a movie again. But anyway, The Lobster, he's got like so many good films that are so out there.
Yes.
You never know what he's going to do.
Gotcha.
That's why every time he's got a movie coming out, I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then this one comes out. I think this is his most out there ambitious film I've ever seen. And The Lobster was fucking weird.
And I think probably his biggest budget, because previously The Favourite was like, because it had big stars in it, there was more money thrown at that. But he's usually like low budget stuff.
It was a soundstage.
Yeah, you can see.
The soundstage?
So it's this massive warehouse.
Okay,
where,
gotcha.
They build the sets and everything.
Yes.
He wanted full control of the whole situation. And you see why. The painted backgrounds, the little props, the sets, like everything is so controlled to create this.
A particular,
do you know what feeling it gave me? It gave me the same feeling as when I read the play A Doll's House.
Oh, love that. I haven't read it.
It gave, like, my drama students will know. But
Shout out drama students.
Shout out! Walk around the room in a piece of fire.
Shout out UCT drama department. Was it UCT?
No, this was high school.
Shout out
high school drama students.
Camps Bay.
Camps Bay.
Do I give all girls school vibes?
You kind of do a little bit.
Oh my god, ew.
Hello.
Strong girl too.
Yeah. I thought Rustenburg at first.
Ew. Mm. Wow. Oh my gosh. You guys think my parents have a good bank balance? Why? I love you.
Well, mine didn't, and they managed to send my sister.
Okay.
What's you guys? I don't even know what I'm talking about.
We went into terrible debt for that. But anyway.
No, so. But I promise you, read it like the description of what A Doll's House is about. I'm not gonna ask you to read the whole play. But
I will refuse.
It's beautiful. It just gives, because it's actually quite similar to, you know, conversation about like women and what they should be doing and how they should act and whatever. So I think that is going to be like my deduction from this.
Let's pause it there. If Cassidy can tell us what the story is without any spoilers, explain to
me. We're in spoiler free now.
Yeah.
You'll know spoiler when we get free, to spoilers. Then,
yeah. Tell people what you think the story is.
Yeah.
What Poor Things.
Yes. What's the story? What's the plot? What's the vibe?
Okay, no spoilers. Mm. A doctor creates...
Well, we have a time limit.
You didn't tell me that. I'm trying not to give any spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay,
you don't
a doctor creates a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And she's obviously, you know, looks a physical way, but in her brain is another way. And she is completely innocent to the world, and it is just her raw, authentic reaction to everything without any bias, you know, without ever being hindered by society. Mm. She's just coming into it so like ignorance is bliss and learning along the way and making deductions.
On point.
Mm. I'll give it a solid 7.
Yeah. Yay. Okay.
7 out of 8.
5,000. No, but that is kind of it. I mean, it's broken down, but there's a lot of craziness that happens along the way, I really appreciated that.
Yes.
Because what genre is this?
That's what I asked.
That's not the
and
genre.
You were like, it's mind f- genre. I was like, I literally, like, 5 minutes into the, I was like, what genre are we watching?
It is comedy leaning for sure. Mm. There's a lot of comedy.
The comedic relief I like, though, wasn't put on a black person.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Props to you.
It's comedy, but then like the dramatic moments that do hit are also like on point. Where you have like the more serious stuff, her confronting her emotions, good and bad. Those things also like resonate like really well.
But it's never done in a dramatic way.
Yeah.
Because the language that they use is so out there and the characters are so out there that even when there's a serious moment happening, you're like, this is kind of befuck though.
Yeah. Again, guys, I don't want to sound like a snob, but you have to watch the other films.
Mm.
Like
you've
seen The Favourite though. Mm. And those scenes where it was so funny. No one can talk to the queen or like look her in the eye.
Except what's her cousin?
And she just goes tati on like the on the for the staff and shit, and screams at them, and she's like, "Look at me, look at me!" And then they look at the tati. So that same vibe of this weird eclectic.
Yes, scene that's exactly that just what it is.
Transition into another weird eclectic scene.
But what Yorgos does so well is that he's commenting on so many different things.
Yes.
With all this like absurdity and stuff, he's commenting on very real world issues, you know, men in relation to women, like women in relation to men, then like classism, all of this stuff is like intertwined.
This is his first adaptation. This is based on a book.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, for a book from 1992 called Poor Things As Well.
Mm.
Not Poor Things As Well, it's also just called Poor Things.
Mm.
Just for clarity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then the author was like cuck old when he approached the guy and said he wanted to adapt it. And he actually died before they could do the film. Aww. But the guy did say he was 80-something. And Yorgos went to see him. And he said, as soon as I got there, he had seen Dogtooth, which is the one movie I haven't seen. And he said, I had my friend put on the DVD because I don't know how to operate these things. But I think you're a very talented young man. And that was it. Yeah, and then he died right there.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
And Yorgos was like...
So I didn't know it was an adaptation. And I was like, okay. But even so, his stories do have a lot of underlining themes.
Yeah.
And this one is, in my opinion, one of the greatest feminist stories
I've
ever seen.
Okay. Controversial opinion time. That's my thing at the moment, hey? Controversial opinions.
Is that your thing? Because that's not our thing.
Controversial opinion time. I think this does more for the feminist movement than the Barbie movie does.
Yes, but I would say that Barbie had to balance feminist message with commercial appeal, and I think they achieved that.
Okay, got you.
And I don't think they had the freedom that this guy
and
had.
And this movie, I think, is less accessible to a broad audience.
Also, so,
but I agree with you in terms of the story.
Yes.
Because look how crazy they went on them. I mean, Barbie was mild.
Yeah.
And they went, the people went nuts.
Mm. But also, I think, I mean, if we're going to make this about a real conversation real quick, I think that we need to stop speaking about feminism to women because we understand the argument. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
It's like...
Let us talk about feminism.
You keep quiet. Let the men tell you.
No, no. What do you mean?
So I'm just saying that this is... palatable, like woman mansplain feminism to men and then get upset when men get emasculated, like you know what I'm saying? Like, we are the beings that we are. So this is a really, really smart, funny and cool way and palatable way in which, like, a man can watch a movie and go, hey, yo.
Even the nice guys are doing
that. You see what I'm saying?
But then
you watch a movie like Barbie and you're like, why am I being attacked?
Yeah, you know? But I think if you feel emasculated, that's on you, man. There's no, like, movement to emasculate men. I think it's like it's on the individual man.
Yeah.
If you feel emasculated by something, then you should maybe take a look inside.
That's true.
And if you're comfortable in your masculinity or whatever,
then you can watch these things and have no problem.
Exactly.
Being that way.
Like, it's okay. Yeah. So I think they just need to chill out and let people tell their stories.
But I mean, let's talk about the different relationships that Emma Stone's character now has in this movie.
Wait, we need to talk about performances quickly.
Okay.
Let's just quickly performances.
Ho.
Emma Stone.
Love.
I really, really enjoyed it. Initially, in the beginning, I thought it was a little bit too on the nose.
Here we go. Women tearing another woman down.
No. It was literal, and it kind of gave me a little
bit. How else do you act like a baby, though? Like,
well, that's the thing, right? To come in from an act, like, because I am an actress, there is this element of not playing things too on the nose. Yeah. So it's a little bit like you get the grills, you almost get like secondhand embarrassment. Because if someone's like, play a baby, right? The person with the least acting experience, what's the first thing they'll do?
I'll start shitting.
Put the nappy but, on.
It felt a little bit too on the nose, but you could only appreciate the performance she gave in the beginning at the end. So that's why I was like, oh, a little bit tough in the beginning, but all in all, it made sense. Yeah. Like, just push through.
And I think it was also on brand for the movie.
Yes.
Because the director, there's so much literal things that he's doing here.
Yes.
There's no room for interpretation.
Exactly.
With a lot of it.
Right? Exactly.
Willem Dafoe was also very good, but he's always good.
Yeah.
I think even when he's having it up and shit, he's good.
Yeah. And I don't think he knows how to be bad since the Green Goblin. Yeah.
You know, I was watching his Variety interview the other day.
Spider-Man.
So he talks about these accents. They asked him, how did he come up with his lighthouse accent? Because it's like, he blows that thing.
Yeah.
He's like, they went through a ton of different stuff. And Robert Eggers, the director of that, like, he does research. So it's like, this is how people spoke in that time. Mm. And in the end, he just went for a generic pirate accent. Like, he knew from, like, cartoons.
Yeah, and he sounds exactly like that. So
that's
wild. He's always going to bring it. Mm. I think Mark Ruffalo.
I think he was the best.
Yeah. He was the best.
He was the best.
But his accent could have been... But again, maybe that works with the character.
I just want to say, in the beginning, Emma Stone's character... As she's supposed to be from London, right?
She is.
She's spoken in an American accent. There were some words that she said.
That's a baby accent.
Really?
Yeah. And she's probably been watching like Bluey and whatnot.
Because Americans are stunted. That's why they sound that way. So she was a baby stunted, and that's why she sounds American.
Okay.
Shout out America.
Shout out America with your stunted people.
Y'all know what you're doing. Because I noticed that, like, in the beginning, I was like, is she American or is she British? Because there are some words that she's like...
Although, when she's full British, she's really good.
Yes, no. Then you're like, oh my gosh, she Is she from England now?
But he weaved in and out.
In and out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he could have
done that. Because he put on this fush. Like,
yeah. With the stirrup leather.
Also, the second best actor in that film were Emma Stone's f***ing black feet. She had swart foot the whole movie.
No, I thought I thought she was walking around like Fred Oaks bar all the whole time, just f***ing looking for like gluten-free noodles. I'm like, bitch, wash your feet. Easy, old bang that shit. But Mark Ruffalo
his foot will also fail.
At one point, yeah. But he said, I'm 55 now, and you start to think, okay, I'm on the downside of this hill in a way. And there's this limitation to how long it's going to last and how long my body's going to hold up. Honestly, I'm getting a little bored of myself as Mark Ruffalo. Mm. And with this, he was trying to take the ship as close to the reef as possible without getting actually run aground. There's a daringness in this that I normally wouldn't have. I was just like, fuck it. Mm. If I go now in a flaming, disastrous performance, I don't really give a shit.
And he was kind of like Full Send. Let's f*** it up.
And he said that this was the best time he's ever had.
But you can see it, I think.
He's
a fine line, eh? Like, he's describing it because it could go over. The camp is like there.
Yeah. Mm.
He's like fully going into that. And if he had maybe gone a bitchy over or just missed time some stuff, it falls flat.
But he had so much doubt that he kept making a joke because he's friends with Oscar Isaac. Mm. Oscar Isaac was filming a movie nearby, and he kept making a joke that he's going to come there and one day they're just going to replace him with Oscar Isaac. And then and then one day Willem Dafoe got Oscar Isaac to stick it there. And they sat him down and it's like, look, we have to let you go.
That's very funny.
Just doing the most.
But he was having so much fun.
Also, if you drink every time he says the word cunt, I promise you, you're going to be drunk by the end of the movie.
The way he did his body move, the way he turns and storms up when she slaps him. And he's like, oh! He was just aghast.
Oh my
gosh.
He
was a winner in this one.
Loved it.
Everyone else just kind of like brought it, I think. I don't think there's any weak performances, in my opinion. Even Rami.
Rami was doing Rami things in this role, which initially I was a bit like...
Because Jody watched the show, right?
The first season.
Okay.
Yeah. It felt very similar to his normal character, which was based on him.
You know which one he is?
Which one?
The husband.
The one she was betrothed to before.
What do we... Yes.
It felt a bit too, like, that doesn't fit into this world, but eventually I was like, no, I think he found his groove.
Oh my God, his gun was his thing, huh?
No, that's the other
Are we talking
guy.
About the other character? No. Yeah. Oh, am I on
the guy that did the research.
The colored guy.
The guy that was like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah. The husband, because they never
got married. Yeah.
Yeah, that we saw.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Abigail.
Yay, whoa.
That's minor, guys. That is very, very minor in this film. I don't know what to say without spoiling anything.
Just go Full Send. Just put it in the caption.
The spoilers will start soon. We can start now.
Okay. Yeah. So, is this a kwai or nai for you, Johnny?
Very kwai. Very, very kwai for me.
Okay.
Loved it.
Very kwai. But I had to push through the nai. The first 10 minutes, I was overstimulated.
Yeah, but you mean you were rushing and you got your kiddies popcorn and you were just sitting in the... I think that...
But visually, it's intense.
I know.
It is.
And you had to tell Ben, I'm safe in the cinema. And it's the whole thing. You know, it was a lot for you to actually just land. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. That's why it was looking like that. I'm f***ing right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so it's a kwai for you. And it's a kwai for me. I've honestly never seen anything like this. I think even for Yorgos Lanthimos, I don't think I've seen a film like this. It's f***ing bananas in the best way.
Mm-hmm. You.
See Emma Stone's titties, man.
Oh my gosh.
Titties and bush.
She banging.
She's sucking and f***ing. There's so much f***ing in this movie.
I'm telling you, if you are an Emma Stone diehard, like, she's my celebrity crush, watch this movie.
Watch this film.
Watch this movie.
You would feel like you had intercourse with her.
I feel like if there's an Emma Stone subreddit, that thing is thriving, right?
Oh my gosh.
Thriving.
But don't you guys think, like, if you were gonna go full tilt for
it should be on a film like this
movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so full tilt that it's almost not the point of the movie.
No,
actually,
but it makes so much sense.
You know,
it makes so much sense for the story, though. That's nothing is like gratuitous.
That's my point.
You know what's something I learned early on, like when you are doing writing or when you're acting and stuff, is a lot of newbie or amateur or whatever people will throw in swear words or nudity for shock value.
Yeah.
And then you need to ask yourself, is this tasteful? You
does it serve your story?
Does it serve the story?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm telling you, I think they would have done themselves a disservice if they didn't throw in all the vulgarity and all the nudity. She needed to be fucking in this movie for it to be as wild 100%. As it was.
And I would say, like you say, vulgar, but the way that it's framed, because
you don't get a fright when they say cunt. It's valid. You like throw it out there.
She was an adult who was pregnant who committed suicide.
Yes.
And then Willem Dafoe gets the body and takes the baby's brain and puts it into the adult.
Yes.
So his whole like study of her is how does this thing function?
Yes.
So everything that then happens is as a result of this baby brain becoming an adolescent brain, discovering sexuality. So the vulgarity of it almost gets taken away because you're kind of like part of this journey now.
You can kind of, you can give it a, you know, like that's okay because you relate to this character so much.
But it's how we view women, isn't it?
It is.
That's basically it.
Like women aren't allowed to masturbate.
No, but even so, like the naivety in the beginning, she was the most appealing.
When she was a baby, like Mark didn't. What was his character's name?
Mark.
Mark.
No, it was something like that.
It was dumb something.
Jody, pull it up, Jody.
Duncan Wedderburg.
Yes, Wedderburg was only attracted to her when she was a child.
When he could control her.
When he could control her.
And corrupt.
And the moment other people were like, she's beautiful, then he was like, no, she's only for me. And I remember that version of myself, you know? And that's why I'm like, this movie is so great, especially for the whole feminist movement, because women can watch this and go, oh my god, that's me. Because I think if you ask any woman when she became unattractive or unappealing, it was the moment that she spoke up for herself, spoke her truth, and that's when men were like,
why you gotta be such a bitch?
Exactly. And that is so visceral in this film.
She clearly hates me.
And like the fact that she
you were a whore.
Yeah,
you know?
She does like the most looked down upon job on the planet, and she's okay with that.
Yeah. She comes into it with a very logical, level-headed thing. Yeah. We need money. Mm. I like sex. I'm gonna have sex for money.
Yeah.
But what is the issue?
Yeah, even in the brothels, she's like, wouldn't it be better if we get to do it?
Yeah, if unionize, bro.
Yeah, and then the chick's like, sometimes they like it when you don't have a choice. Yeah.
But that's the other thing I loved. So they frame how men in power around her, how they've treated her, versus that one woman who was in a position of power with her and how she treated her.
Yeah.
So the men, it's all like control. Whether it's like Rami Yusuf or Willem Dafoe, who apparently are doing it like for good reasons.
Yes.
They still want to control her in their own ways.
Yes.
Or like Mark Ruffalo.
Well, Rami in the beginning a bit.
Yeah, but when he tries to marry a child, it's like,
He's taken by her, but he also doesn't want to take advantage of it. But the moment he has an opportunity to lose her, he's like, no, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But in the end, he sort of comes around.
And then we've got the madam who's like running the whorehouse in Marseille.
Yes.
And her whole thing is like, but her whole thing is like, I want you here, but you also have to experience the full scope of humanity.
Yeah.
She explains all of that to her. It's like, there's good, there's bad.
I've never had something resonate with me so much until the madam said, because she was like, I'm very cynical, I'm very jaded, and I don't like this, and you can see how broken Emma Stone's character is, right? And then she goes, but that's what's the beautiful thing, because after the break comes wisdom. And that for me, I was like, if someone had put hardships into that frame of mind, I don't think people would feel bad about their hardships.
Like, you must go through like, that as
yes,
well.
You were ignorant and ignorance was bliss, and now you're broken because you're seeing what society does to you. But after this is the best part, because now you can, you know, make your own opinions and whatnot. And that, for me, to see the hope in her eyes after she says wisdom comes after this, was beautiful.
It was.
Well, I mean, she had good intentions from the start, because she started to realize that she actually went through change the world for good.
Yeah. Right?
And this was the kind of the place to start. You start at the bottom.
But there also, it's like she wanted to make these changes, but she was doing it without the full scope of what is humanity even.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's like she's doing all this empirical data gathering. All of the experiences are like me going to learn. But it wasn't actually with full understanding of humanity. Mm-mm. Then the guy, the Jared Carmichael's character on the
boat, who took her to
Alexandria Joburg.
Alexandria Joburg.
F***ing biggest laugh in the cinema.
Weird first date energy.
But look at him, mate. Like, the whole point of why he wanted to do it is like, I don't like your happy disposition. I need to show you the real world. Again, it's a male and control of your story and your narrative.
Yes.
And then he gets like, he's sorry for it. Whereas the madam is like, this is part of it. I'm showing you this side. I'm doing this for selfish reasons. She's totally upfront. I need to make money to take care of my people.
Yeah.
But also for you.
But in doing that, like, I've actually had this conversation with people. In doing that, that's not a selfish thing, because inherently everyone is selfish because you have to be selfish to be selfless. Mm. She's the whole reason why she's doing all of this is because of her grandchild. Mm. That's not selfish. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. That's quite a selfless act. Isn't that what they're all doing? You know, they're all trying to say, well, f*** you, I need to get by in life for a greater good. I mean, Emma's character wants to change the world, but she needs some money for herself right now in order to go to school, in order to educate herself and whatnot. So, I mean, I don't think any of that is selfish, but I think it's just the way and the lens in which they look at it, you know?
So, Yorgos did say that it was very important for me to make a film that would be prudish.
Yes.
Because it would be like, not to make a film that was produced, because it would be like betraying the main character.
Yes, totally.
We had to be confident. Yeah. Emma had to have no shame about her body, or nudity, engaging in those scenes. And she understood right away. As soon as you started saying something about sex, she would say, yes, of course, it's Bella. We will do what we need to do. And I think, like,
that's great.
You don't get a performance like that. And
you see
it. Honestly, it wasn't even sexy.
She wasn't sexualized.
No.
That's the
it
thing.
It wasn't sexy. I was not sitting there with like a halfie.
Yeah.
Despite the graphic nature of the sex scenes.
Yes.
Some of the most graphic scenes that I'd say put to like the mainstream
movie. I prefer
movie.
Romance. I like a little candles, maybe some music.
Emmanuel 3.
Some lighting. Yeah. Some production.
Ambiance.
Yeah. Like woo me a little.
Yeah.
You know, make them feel
that.
These weren't sexy sex scenes. This was two humans doing primal shit.
Yeah.
And then telling Mark Ruffalo, like, why don't people just do this all the time?
Yeah. You know, like, exactly.
Like, what she said, you've just been hounded by the bear.
How bad it is when she comes back and figures out somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know, I was somewhere and she's like, well, no, it was up against the wall.
Yeah, that matter of fact, like, it's the perfect marriage of like naivety with also that confidence that you speak of, to just go out and like, she wants to explore.
She is such a strong character because at no point does she shame herself. Because I think everyone at some point was like, oh, I like that feeling. Oh, whatever. Yeah. But we were shamed and we were made to feel shame, which is why it's such a taboo to talk about it and whatever. And whenever her character comes up in these hard situations, there's no sense of this is taboo. She's just like, well, you told me that this is what people do all the time, but now you're telling me I can't do this.
But they tell her about polite society early on. Yeah. She never truly learns that lesson.
Yeah.
Because throughout the film,
she does it sarcastically also.
So, like, sorry, polite society. So she never buys into it.
But on that point, so for me, that's where the title of the movie comes in.
Poor
because
things.
My interpretation is that everyone else in society
is
a poor thing because they aren't getting to like live their lives the way they want, because we all are constantly thinking about how is this way up against societal norms.
It's just South Africans going, oh, shame.
Yeah.
basically.
Ach, shame. I want to quickly talk about like the actual like production. Set, oh, okay. Set design.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Insane, right?
Can we?
Wardrobe.
The whole movie, I sat and I watched the setups of the filming, like the camera, like wide so. It's obviously done with a fisheye lens, and I was like, okay, so this
he does love that camera, that
but it's perfect in this movie because it's like so abstract, and there's also moments where it's done with a fisheye through a lens, so it's obviously got that vignette around it, and you're just like. Okay.
It's vignetta. It's Italian.
Vignetta.
Is it? Actually? No, I'm
cut your pepe.
I'll cut your pepe. But it's I love it because it's almost like that's how she sees the world as a baby.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the first initial minutes of this film are in black and white.
Yes.
And that's actually how babies see.
It's funny.
Babies don't
about
see
that
color.
The set. Designers were not told that
it was black and white. Love that.
That's cool.
So they were not happy.
They put in a
No, because they're like, for instance, the production design team was like, what? There's a beautiful mint green bedroom that really look gorgeous, and everybody's a bit sad that they never made it to the film because it's all black and white. You didn't tell them.
But the richness of that black and white was gorgeous. But on the camera thing, the other thing that I eventually got from that is that it adds to the voyeur aspect, because you see those types of cameras like fit into bedpost and shit like that, and it's you getting a look into a world you shouldn't see.
You felt like you were a fly on the wall.
It was her journey. Yes. So it's like when you get that fisheye, it's like, ooh, we involved in conversations we shouldn't be involved with.
Yes. Yeah. And it also made everything feel so abstract. Yeah. Like
everything
it
was thoughtful. Even the costume design when she goes off to Lisbon, and that's the first time that she's sort of unsupervised, and then her costume almost looks like incomplete. So she would wear that big fluffy things with this random
sheer skirt.
Shorts or whatever,
because mentally she's like, how old at that point?
That shit wasn't really important to her because it was done for her. So those things are so considered in every like aspect of the film.
When it's in black and white, like in the beginning when you see she's wearing that same stuff and you're looking at all of the house and the clothing, it makes you really want to see it. Like, I was like, I have to see this in color.
Yeah.
I want to see the texture. What a f***ing puffy sleeve.
We never will. We never will, love.
She wore that same jacket when...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The two pants or whatever it was, and they had switched to color. So she had exactly the same outfits and clothing and stuff that she was wearing in the house. You just experience it completely different because it goes from black and white.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
That wedding dress, each sleeve was like over a meter fabric.
Yes.
Just for
that's
the,
wild. Just for the, like, sure.
That's insane.
But Ross, the other thing, it was very hard to like not talk after the movie.
Yes, we purposely
don't usually talk. But what you said that I think was really cool is also the freedom versus imprisonment aspect of the color and black and white.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she said, no, that's kind of how babies see also.
Yes.
But then the lack of color is so constricting.
Yeah. And that was her life. Mm. She couldn't go outside.
She couldn't
do what she wanted. And then it's like, now we segue into color and she is just everywhere. And it's overwhelming initially. Eh?
Yes. Yeah.
What did you guys make of this world? Because there's tech that doesn't exist in our world, like the way that the trains function, cables hanging in the sky. Yeah.
All practical, eh?
Yeah. I was like, sure.
Insane. Eskom should, or Prasa should take some tips.
You know?
Those cables would be hard to I wouldn't take a Prasa train.
Yeah. Imagine.
Bella's hair was an accident. So she was told that she had to have natural black borderline brunette hair, but the colorist made a mistake and it actually came out darker on camera.
Mm.
And I think it works.
Do you know what's kind of interesting about that? So working on films, I've realized that they will always give the younger characters lighter, like more voluminous, curly hair because that is indicative of youth, right? as you get older, you'll notice, especially with white boys, they'll have like that white blonde hair when they're kids. And now, like, you'll see later on, it'll be like a mousy brown color. Nice. And that comes with like aging. So it was quite interesting like to me, you know, but it was quite interesting to me that her hair was so dark.
This is audio. I'm painting a picture like for our listeners.
I'm laughing at your face.
Yeah, it was. He went there with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, now. Brad Pitt is a, he's a looker.
Mousy as
they're only getting better looking.
Because she was an adult woman that had given
birth. But that's what I'm saying. Mm. Yeah.
In terms of the mind.
Like, yeah. You don't like associate. So it feels it feels wrong on her in the beginning, is what I'm saying.
And she was the only one, sorry, in that period, because it's like a Victorian period.
Yes, and that's why she was so beautiful.
She's the only one that let it loose. Because I mean, it wasn't done in those times. And by the end of the film, her hair extensions that they were using was like over 1.2 meters.
Because they make the comment early on that Rami Yusuf's character.
Her hair grows like 1 inch every day.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting because during that time, having porcelain skin and rosy cheeks is like that innocence and purity. Mm. So when men see the dark hair and the porcelain skin, they're like, oh, wow, this is the picture of beauty. Mm. Like, they every single time people meet her, they're like, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Mm. You know, that comment is made a lot. But she's also got the baby brain, so she's literally perfect. And it's just, it feels so wrong. But then at the end, it just feels so right. Yeah. Like, it's so natural.
And so funny.
So funny.
I can't, like, it was a comedy.
It definitely was.
Yeah, that's the genre when you Google it.
It says comedy.
But
you know, also some, they describe it as offbeat comedy.
That's
but
right.
But I feel like the drama,
chicken that barks.
The drama only really comes from, like, like talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's serious topics.
It is.
The topics themselves
that
he's
covering.
But it's
not like in your face, the more you think about it, these things expose yourself. But I mean, when you're in the cinema and enjoying the film, it's a lot of just laughs.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's a penis. Mm. Don't touch it. She touched it.
Just,
there's Gollum. What's he doing here?
Do you know, first Ferrari?
Do you know what that character's name is? Gollum. No, Crabman.
No.
He doesn't. When you go on his IMDb, it's Crabman.
And his cock is dangling like as he's moving like that. I mean, that should I bring that into the bedroom? Oh, okay.
I fear for your knees.
I'm just saying, I could do it.
This?
20 minutes, sorry.
Let's never talk about that again, ever.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
Abby. We'll take this offline, love.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. No, that was wild.
Production meeting.
The dangling cock. The other man also with the, like, the men in this movie.
Did you the guy with Captain Hook?
Throughout that whole montage, I didn't think it could get any worse.
No, and then both me and Abby are going, Captain Hook?
It's like he's the most normal looking guy.
And then he takes it off. But just the other comparison we made, because we watched Bo is Afraid last year.
Okay.
And yeah.
Similar, like, absurdist leanings and stuff, but also the self-discovery aspect.
Okay.
You know, this, like, Homer's Odyssey. And this movie, to me, is everything Bo is Afraid wanted to be.
Okay.
In that movie wanted to be, like, yes, it was funny. Yes, it's about discovery and all that stuff, but it lost us. After the first hour and a half, second hour and a half, not so much.
It went full artsy, like to the point where it's like, okay, we lost in the director's subconscious now. Obviously.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I like being in his head.
Yeah, but also once he had us.
I feel like he had to rein it in a bit because I felt like he could have gone more crazy.
But it's like, but that's the thing, he doesn't lose us.
Yeah.
You know, we are part of that journey throughout. We invested.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how long the movie was. So
me neither.
Part of me wanted to check.
2 hours 20.
I think so.
It's not actually that long.
But part of me wanted to check at some point because I'm like, how much story is left?
That's exactly.
I was getting to a point where I'm like, what else will happen?
And then the husband sticks out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I thought this is for sure done now.
Yeah. No, she's getting married.
She's going to change the world. And then
I messaged and I was like, you can come pick me up now.
And then Alfie
Cassidy uses her phone in the cinema. Just want to say that
on
light,
bright.
That light was slapping me in my right eye the whole time. And I'm like, bitch.
And this
I was
is,
about that
the, this is my use. Ross, my left eye is the uveitis eye. It's the one I almost lost. I got that trigger. So
he's got uveitis. That's apparently a real thing. It sounds made up.
Is it made up?
That's real.
Okay. It's giving UVI. It's giving made up.
That's not real.
It's giving.
Anyway. Then Alfie sticks out.
Yeah.
Husband. And I'm just like, what?
She's like, you thought you saw the worst male character in the 100%.
Show. I fear an uprising.
Yeah.
I could not stop.
The help are turning on us. I fear an uprising. And like anytime we ask him to do something, he just
hey, cut your clit off.
But then to like, then you see why the help wants to kill him.
Yes.
He doesn't initially show, but he's like, watch this.
Yeah.
And he calls the woman in with the soup
with
bowl.
Big, yeah.
And the dog is waiting and just like, yarra
bro. But that's what, so that for me, I think was very, very heartbreaking for Emma's character, because why did we love each other? Mm. And then he does it. And then she goes, we were cruel.
Yeah. I mean, she went.
Why would she go?
Yeah. She's at the wedding. He comes there and she's like, I would like to go with him. And you don't have. You don't have a problem, but, Rami? And he's like
no.
but it's true to the character.
Yeah.
It is.
Because her character is all about, I have to get as much data
knowledge.
Information
yes.
as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, they've now explained to her where she came from. This guy comes, she's like, I need to find out who I was.
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
But can we just shout out the God's assistant, the woman?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the house, what is she?
Yeah,
like everything.
She does everything. She's his medical assistant. She looks like a cleaner, cook.
Yeah.
The horseback.
She didn't like Emma's.
Ho, bang.
She didn't like Emma Stone's character. And then they create another one when they miss her. And then she's like, I like this
Margaret
one.
Qualley. Yeah. Margaret Qualley. Or
yeah,
Qualley,
from the maid. And then you were like, she's never been a maid in her life. This guy.
Come on, that's a nipple baby.
Yeah, that's Vicky Pepperdine, Mrs. Prim.
Mrs. Prim. She was funny. Even in the end, when she ends up as they're all just chilling there and she's just having a good time.
And then she actually makes her chummy go fetch her water. That's like, she just, hey, you, get water.
But that's an interesting point that you make, because again, it shows the intention of the good men, where they like, we miss when Emma Stone's character goes on a journey, we miss her. Let's just make another one.
Yeah, exactly.
How much did you actually care about her then in the way that
that's
you supposedly thought?
That's a very interesting thought.
And they even changed the strategy.
Yeah.
To be like, how can we correct the...
Yeah, they were like, we need to be less emotional with this one.
And that's why men never really evolve. They don't really learn from relationships
in
general.
Because they don't take the data that's given to them. They just go, we can better this one without actually looking at...
I need younger, better, harder, faster, you know?
You know.
And then supposedly...
All men,
through,
hey? Yeah. What did I say in the movie?
All men.
What?
You said a lot in the movie, actually. Too much, maybe.
I was like, I guess all men, am I right?
Can I just say...
The
consistency of Cassidy. This volume that we have right now, this is Cassidy's cinema voice as well.
That's a medical condition, right? Oh God, they've got the whisperitis. They can't. Nina can't whisper.
Nina always goes, your whisper is a stage whisper.
Yeah.
It's not even.
Like, I'm telling you, we were there. I made the Ferrari comment, and then they just all the time go, yeah.
No, the animals were the best thing.
So they,
we didn't for that. It was that guy's clearly. You said he's the Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, he's the guy that Leonardo da Vinci.
First, I was just like.
But think about that design. Like he f***ed with animals so much that he's got a horse car.
With a live horse head.
A steering wheel
and wheels and everything. But then it's got the horse head in the front. And
the
I'm like, hey, look, the first
was
Ferrari.
Also one of my favorite.
The pig chicken.
The dog goof, duck.
The dog duck. Yeah, the dog duck reminded me of cat dog.
Yeah.
Cat dog Mendoza. The goose dog also.
Yeah, the barking cock.
Mm. Oh, that was fun. The barking chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Man,
we all said that we want one of those.
No, because, I mean, you have to be specific because a barking cock wouldn't be so out there. If a penis just started in this film, you know.
Exactly.
But like from the start, the tone is set, and it just carries all the way through, and I don't mind.
And the music as well is like, you think it's going to be a normal score, and then it almost like changes to where it's out of tune
again. done better than Bowie's Afraid.
Much better.
That was the actual composer that was playing that weird f***ing instrument.
Yes?
That was the actual composer. And that scene, the dancing scene, because he does...
Oh, yeah, the whole like weird... And then
but he
Mark
does that in a lot of
it.
His films. Mm. He has this weird little scenes put in where white people dance f*** up.
Yeah.
He does it a lot. And I'm like... Okay.
Maybe that's how he views white people dancing.
The dance was a windwalk. Mm. Okay,
he's trying
and
to
he's
like,
trying to rein it in.
Yeah, trying to normalize.
And then she's just, yeah, making it wild. And then they're like, "Do you want to go to the city?" And she's like, "Yeah, let's go dance."
Yeah, but she's like, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "This guy." And the guy's like, "Windwalk." And that whole scene just plays out like what, like two like drunk people in a club.
I really am looking forward to watching this again.
Yes.
Yeah. Like honestly, the amount of like as we talking,
I think
now,
I'm
the
going and watching
I
it
at
tonight.
You have to take.
I'm taking him tonight.
Yeah, amazing. He's gonna have a time.
He was.
Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but he's gonna have a time.
Hate it or love it, but mad facts. I'm gonna give you guys a full like the minutes of a meeting with him because he also comments. He's gonna be like, okay.
Yeah, no, he's gonna have a time, and I think like people should. People should go watch.
People
this
should
film.
Watch yeah. this film. This if I had to say to anyone like because recently. It was like Saltburn.
No, but wait. Just wait until this motherfucker comes to streaming. You're going to see this shit on
I'm
TikTok.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. It's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Yo. I think if this was streaming already, it would have won more.
Yeah, because Saltburn, if you think about it.
It went straight
to
stream.
Yeah, but it was also, it was mild.
It was mild. Mm. Also.
What is it with Gen Z? Why are they so easily shocked by things? It's just a cock.
No, you know what? I think it's the shock value at which it's done.
Yeah, but we grew up. I was saying, we grew up. I mean, this isn't a boomer thing.
No, it's you're just, not a boomer either. You're a millennial.
Yeah, because I grew up when there were less rules on the internet. Yeah. So
yes.
I was looking at Rotten.com, Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. Me
jaw.
Too.
Yeah, but it's weird. So now I see a lot of Gen Z creators like, oh, my God, you
the
have to watch Salt. And I'm like, okay, I'm waiting to be like,
and then you just.
And I'm like, oh, it's just a cock.
Yeah, it's just a peen.
It's just period blood. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's 100%. I don't know. I don't know what the shock value is with Gen Z. I think that they like.
This is going to
this is going to fuck them up big time. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of people going, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But also, this one is almost more subtle with it. Because it's like that, think of that Mark Ruffalo scene where he sees her the first time. She's hanging out in a cupboard.
And
he comes in the room and he just starts fingering, just like stick his hand in there.
That's sexual assault. And
full on.
And guys do that though. Yeah. That's the f***ing most f***ed up part.
Men think that way.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this is how I'm going to get interested in her. And he's technically dealing with a child at that
well,
point.
Well, did you not see what she said after that? She's like, I'm going with him. I fear he may have ruined me, but I'm going with him. Like that literally became like Stockholm syndrome. Like
also my favorite. He's so like suave and sexy, and he's doing all the sucking and f***ing, and then he's got the corset on.
Yeah, yeah. back.
Exactly. We can do this all the time. And she's like, "Okay, let's go again. I need to sleep."
Yeah. And he's like,
"No, it's not I need to sleep." He says, "We need to go sleep."
Yeah. And she's just like, "Okay,
where the f***?"
but you know what? Probably for me, the most feminist thing about this movie is that her lack of caring about what all these men think of her is done in such a natural way.
Yeah.
That she exists in her own
world.
In her own this, I've got a mission. Mm. And she doesn't care about anyone else and all these guys trying to control her in any facet.
I think
just
she
goes out and does it.
But she holds them accountable on the shit they say to her in their opening statements.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Mark's character the whole time is, we're gonna go on an adventure. Mm. Don't fall in love with me.
Yeah.
Like this is all like, you know, and he tells her all these things and he goes, I'm gonna show you curiosity. And then in the end he's like trying to confine her and she goes, what about the adventure?
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, are you in love with me? Type thing. And that's exactly the same thing. Like
put her in a box, man.
Yeah.
And put her on a boat.
Yeah, and like the whole with the cynic as well. He's like, I'm gonna show you the world. And then she goes, I fear you're the broken one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he goes, oh, you know? She just calls them out on the shit that
When he's screaming, he's so upset, he's lost everything, and she's just like, it's fine, I have money. Oh, I have this, it's not my money, it's emergency money. He's like, you've had it the whole time.
It's been an emergency 6 months ago.
And then he takes all of it.
Takes all of money.
And f***s off, but doesn't leave.
No, he's there.
He's talking about the whole time.
Oh, no. Come back. And then she goes, 21, go home. Leave me alone.
This movie's so fucking funny. Is he nominated for director?
Yes, he is. Okay, Yorgos, then. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I mean, this is one of the most unique films I've ever seen.
I love this.
Might become one of my favorites.
I agree. As you said, I'm excited to watch it again.
And I know nobody's gonna go to the cinema to watch this, but just do it.
It's cinema worthy.
Yeah,
when
it
you
is.
Look at the way the set design, the way it's shot.
Never mind that, Jody.
But the experience
sitting with a whole lot of strangers and then seeing how people react to like this. Yeah.
Because you know what? You know what?
But she stabbed the eye.
There is something so beautiful about a whole bunch of strangers laughing at the f***ing barking chicken at the same time.
There's a thing.
And that's what was so great as well. When we were making the commentary, it was also like nervous energy, you know, to like get that shit out. Mm. And then just being appreciated by a collective group of people kind of going,
hey, yo. Hey, yo.
What did I say that to?
There were a few things. The first scene also where she just lifts the penis when she's still a baby.
She was playing with the flaccid penis of a dead man. And then I'm just like, hey, yo.
Oh, wow.
So good.
So good.
I don't know if she's going to win the Oscar. I think it's going to go to Lily. Have you watched the Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, I haven't.
Lily Gladstone's going
to. I want to watch it, though.
It's long.
How long is it?
It is a very long.
Apparently, Martin Scorsese told Leonardo DiCaprio to stop improvising. Because it was like they were getting frustrated because that's one of the reasons why it's so long. Leo was just like, you have a script? Nah, I don't need that.
But he doesn't usually do that.
No, that's the first time I've heard
of him.
No, but he made, I know the one story is when they're driving in the car and he makes the joke with her and she like really laughs. So he does. But I think it's ever since Quentin Tarantino made him improv in the caravan.
Mm. Yes.
Once upon a time in Hollywood. Now he's like, God,
I can do
he's
that.
Got that
do
yeah. So he's got that. He's got that thing. And it was him. It was Martin Scorsese. And I think it was either a producer or it was another actor. Mm. They were just getting the fuck with him because he was just. But like I tell actors this, like everything you need in this life is in the script.
Mm.
It's you're not the fucking writer. You haven't won like 7 Emmys and 8 Oscars. You haven't won that shit. Please, we don't need your fucking ad-libbing on like, you know, this person's
unless
script.
It calls for it.
Exactly.
Unless
so,
you're Vince Vaughn.
Well.
All ad-lib.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn is just an ad-lib.
Would you ever go full Emma Stone if the script is good enough?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
I would. There is an element of reckless abandon that you can't get from anything else.
Wow.
And it is just, you know what? I was told by an acting coach once, and they were like, even in the audition, your biggest trick is to just become the most childlike version of yourself and play. And that is such a gift in this world. Mm. And when you leave, don't be like, oh, I wonder if I got it. Just thank the universe for the opportunity
to play.
I get to play and lose myself. Mm. And honestly, it's a great performance when you forget what you've done because you've lost yourself in a world. It's like when you couldn't even remember the storyline of you and your mate playing cops and robbers and you turning sticks into guns and whatever. Mm. And you're like, what was the whole, like, you know, what was the back and forth, the capture the flag storyline? You couldn't remember because you were so lost in the story. You were lost in the act of play. Mm. So that's, I think it's every actor's dream to Emma Stone this bitch.
Mm.
Love it.
No, I don't know if I'd get my cock out though.
Everyone has a price. Money talks. Mm.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do need a new TV.
Been talking about that for a while now.
I need at least 16.
Mm. I know a song I can play. There's a man on the dance floor. Mm.
Hey.
You better not kill the group.
That's my feeling.
Mine is like.
No, mine sounds. That was an exaggeration. Wow,
I feel
what
like
a film.
I
what
feel
a
like not a bad choice,
now.
Not a bad choice, now.
Not a bad choice.
I think it was kismet. I think it's just
I loved it.
The stars aligned. You're a Gemini, Mercury falling,
rising.
Okay,
Gemini, Libra, Capricorn.
Libra, which one's rising?
I've been Capricorn rising.
Yeah, mm. And then the falling one is the Libra.
Mm. Yeah.
What's, but she's on the cusp.
I don't know how this works.
Me neither.
But you got a chain though.
I know, it was a gift.
I didn't know where you were going with
this. It's because it's
no, because I'm trying to appeal to a new demographic.
No, because you know what it is?
Ladies.
It's a joke that I do because like I'm the only way I can get on with Gen Z is by talking about star signs. So I'm like, I'm a Gemini. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, sometimes a gem always a nigh. And then I lose them.
Wow. But astrology is also one of those things.
You're not giving away any jokes.
It's cyclical, right? Like it skips a couple generations and it comes back.
Yeah.
And then it skips the generations and
Some people it never leaves, bro.
No, yeah. I mean
my mom still hugs people when they tell her she's there in Aquarius because she goes, "Oh, we twins!" Ah!
She's got crystals.
Yeah, she's also got live, love, laugh signs. She's got a crucifix made out of wisdom beads.
A wisdom bead?
It's a wise
not quite
bead.
The same as the other one.
They're like these gray bead stones thing. I don't know. But
Hannibal Lecter had that made out of wisdom teeth.
Yeah. Okay. But she's also got a Bible for a woman, which is, I don't know, all the characters are women.
It's like, hey, bitch.
yo, hey, bitch. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Jesus, you look good.
Yes, queen. Slay.
Yes, queen.
I felt wrong. I can't tell you why.
Mother Mary. Wow. Okay. A female Bible. That's cool.
She's woke or whatever.
She's woke. I think it's more or whatever. Okay. But I think the perfect person to see this form was.
Yeah.
It's Tati, and you need Tati.
Yeah.
To watch Tati.
Tati recognizes Tati.
Thank you. No, they do because they're in the same institute.
Oh,
so they're next door to each other.
Yeah,
Grundaki vibes. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Cassidy.
Thank you so much for having me and my slush puppy.
Should we tell people to come and see you at the armchair?
I'm not going to be at the armchair all the time.
Well, why don't you tell people where they can find
you?
What you're doing.
No, I don't. Why would I live in OBS?
For experience.
Ew. No, I don't need that.
As a comedian.
I don't
Bella need that. Would do it.
Empirical Bella data. Empirical data.
You just go to spa and look at all the white men with long hair be barefoot. That's all the character you need.
Oh, my God.
Felt that in my calves.
The black feet, no, it does something too. I just don't understand it. But I think the culture is like different.
It's
like my feet are soft as shit.
No, 100%. I struggle to go to the beach.
They're in their Birkins
all day.
I struggle to go to the beach. Obviously. Like, I struggle to go to the beach and climb the rocks because my feet are just so soft.
Yeah.
You go at high tide.
Also, do you know that last time we did this podcast, you hadn't gotten your Birkins yet? And I said, trust me, they're going to change your life.
I have two pairs now.
You see, Birkins prevail.
Birkins all day. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and TikTok at A Girl Named Cassidy, or you can find me physically at the Vortex on Tuesdays. No, not that type of Vortex. It's a shisha bar.
It was mooting there the other night.
No, so that's a Soka. Soka also moves on a Tuesday.
No, it was coming from Vortex.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where I perform every Tuesday. Well, not every Tuesday. I try to perform there most Tuesdays.
Oh, no. I meet with my church group on a Tuesday.
Men's group.
Yeah, men's.
I'll
come say hi. Sometimes I also perform at the armchair on a Wednesday.
I avoid OBS.
That's when you go women's group.
Sometimes that's I also perform. Sometimes I also perform on Sundays.
Ross, that's when you lecture your women's group on feminism in the church. Feminism in the church, the lecture you give.
To
the woman.
Yeah.
No, but we'll shoot through the Vortex for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to smoke? Shisha,
no, you don't. You can just sit there and get the secondhand smoke from everyone else's shisha.
So if someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
Vortex on a Tuesday.
Hey, church group on a Sunday.
Hey, wah, 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 wah.
They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast, and they can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Do you still have Facebook? Like, do people still use that app?
People do. If you want misinformation, then that's the place.
Misinformation, yeah. Totally.
Stay safe, everyone. Be good for Knox.
And Charlie.
And Gunks. And Tuli. That's a new addition. Not Tully. Tuli.
We don't really know Tuli. I'm going to edit that one out.